Hello and welcome to Talking Points, the loverugbyleague.com podcast, where we talk about everything that's been going on in the game of rugby league. As always, I'm Dave Parkinson, I'm joined by Adrian Jackson, and we've got a special guest today. That's Paul Wood of Warrington. Nice to join us, Paul.
Yeah, cheers, thanks for having me.
And what a weekend we've seen. There was a bit of silverware up for grabs. There was also several Super League games and one game from the Cooperative Championship Division 1.
Before we talk about rugby league in the UK, let's talk about rugby league down under. It was round 19 of the NRL Premiership, and here were the results. New Zealand Warriors 36, Canterbury Bulldogs 12, Brisbane Broncos 30, Gold Coast Titans 10, Penrith Panthers 23, Parramatta Eels 22, South Sydney Rabbitohs 21, Sydney Roosters 20, North Queensland 18, West Tigers 38, Canberra Raiders 0, Melbourne Storm 26, and finally Newcastle 10, Manly Sea Eagles 32, another competitive weekend and some close scorelines.
Definitely, I think Penrith Panthers and Parramatta, that one went right to the wire, didn't it? 23-22, you can't ask for much closer. But then we got it at the ANZ Stadium on Saturday when South Sydney Rabbitohs won 21-20. So, yeah, standards really good, isn't it, over in Australia. And also Melbourne Storm being able to put on 26 points on Canberra, who've been scoring points for fun over the last few weeks. That's a great result for them.
Yeah, apparently it's the first time Canberra being held scoreless in the home match for the first time in 30 years. That's some record.
It is some record, isn't it? Considering the club's been going for about 30 years as well. And also, great victory for Manly as well. I mean, to go all the way up to Newcastle and put 30-odd points on them, great result.
It's all about winning your away games, isn't it? If you can do it convincingly, it makes a win even better.
And also a couple of tries there for Jamie Lyon, so good to see that he's still setting the NRL alight after his stint in Super League.
Just shows you that you can learn from being a better player from the UK and taking it back home with you.
So what does that mean to the NRL Premiership? Well, Melbourne Storm are on top, Manly are in second, Brisbane third, St George Illawarra fourth, North Queensland fifth, New Zealand Warriors sixth, West Tigers seventh, and Penrith Panthers just hanging on in eighth position, just a touch ahead of Newcastle, point difference being the only difference there.
Now, we all know UK people have a favourite Australian team. Any favourite team of yours over there?
I think I'd have to choose Manly, because only for the sole reason when we was on tour we stayed in Manly. We got to train at the Brookvale Oval, and we got to use their training facilities, and just good mates with Michael Monaghan as well, and enjoyed Chris Hicks's company when he was over, so they sort of turned me to a Manly boy, yeah.
Now Warrington have confirmed they're going to go on a pre-season tour to Australia next January, so you're looking forward to going over and sampling life in Australia again?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, I believe that we're playing South Sydney and possibly Newcastle, and they're two places that I did manage to visit when I was over there, so be looking forward to get back over there and see, you know, live that lifestyle again, and hopefully visit Manly, because it's not too far from Sydney and the beach in Manly is absolutely gorgeous, so be good.
Now, we know you love playing the rugby league in the UK, but would you like to have had the challenge of going over there and pit yourself against the best?
Yeah, it's something that probably I think every rugby league player would like to do, but you know, obviously it's not going to happen. I'm knocking on a bit, so. but yeah, it's a tough competition, you know, and I suppose if you can do the business over there, then you know, as an English player, the class was world class, don't they? So you know, Adrian Morley is one of those players that's stood up over there, and Sam Bird just you know, he's done a good job over there when he's been playing. So yeah, it's something that I would have liked to have done, but obviously I wanted to stay faithful to Warrington. 12 years there now, so I'm pleased with my efforts here.
And we're always getting told that the NRL is a far superior competition than Super League. Would you agree with that?
To be honest, I don't watch a lot of NRL, but I think the games that I do watch, they are really intense, and the type of rugby that they play is a lot different, I think, over there. Yeah, I mean, the State of Origin games, you look at those and they are brutal, you know. It's I think that's where they've got the edge on us at the minute, in terms of the international stage. The Origin is a massive stepping block for them, and you know, the thing that they do well in Australia is they pick the teams on form, so everyone's fighting for competitions, where I don't think that we do that particularly well in England, and I don't think we've done it for a number of years, so I think that's where they've got the edge on us at the minute.
Do you think internationally it will be in our best interest to send more of our younger players out there to sample Australian rugby league?
No, I think that if we keep the English lads over here and stop taking, you know, Aussie imports from Australia and bringing them here, which keep the young lads out, but obviously it'll be a really good thing if we can send some of the young kids over to Australia. But I think now with, you know, the limitations on how many Australians you can have in a team, it's just going to be a brighter future for England, because we've seen over the last few years when young lads come in that, you know, they are good enough to step up to the mark. They might not do it immediately, but, you know, they need that experience. And a lot of clubs over the last few years have seen that, you know, young lads do make mistakes and maybe not give them a second chance. But, you know, obviously without the Aussies here, they're going to start getting more of a chance. And, you know, it's shown at Warrington, the young lads are doing really well.
In that respect, Paul, are you in favour of, a lot's been written and mentioned over the last couple of seasons about dual contracts for younger players where they are loaned out virtually to Championship clubs and Championship One clubs to gain that bit more experience. Do you think that's a good thing? Would you have perhaps enjoyed that a few years ago yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky really, because when I was coming into the first team, I made my debut at 18, and you know, there was quite a few injuries in the Warrington front row, so I was never really kept out of the first team. But if I was, instead of playing in the reserve grade, I probably wanted to test myself at an higher level, and Championship is an higher level than 20, so I think it is a way forward. You know, we've got lads in our team at the minute, you know, people like Tyrone McCarthy, you know, Matty Blythe, Lee Mitchell's on a dual registration, but with a Super League team, which is great, so he's getting a lot of experience there. And, you know, for Matty Blythe and Tyrone McCarthy, it's not where they want to be playing under 20s rugby. They need to be testing themselves against, you know, there's a lot of ex-Super League players in National League, and it's a really tough competition, so they need to be playing at that standard if they're not playing first team.
Did you tend to watch a lot of Championship rugby yourself?
Yeah, I do. I'm actually missing it now, so can we hurry up? I do watch a lot of Championship rugby. I really enjoy the Thursday night games, and you know, it's a lot more competitive than I realised. And when you're watching it each week, you understand that the standard has risen quite a lot, and there's a lot of players I feel that could, you know, still play Super League that are in the competition, and for their own reasons they're not. But it's a great competition, and like I say, I watch it every Thursday night. Yeah.
I suppose there's a lot of good coaches who's got top level experience, both playing and coaching wise, which are now pitting the wits against each other at that particular level.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's for the coaches. You know, look at Darryl Pearl; he's coached Super League, and Ian Millward's coached Super League teams, and done pretty well, and now they're in the National League. And if you listen to every time they do an interview, and they ask them, you know, can you compare it to Super League, and they say that you know, it's just as tough, you know, coaching these teams, and the lads' skill level surprises them, and you know, I think that's a credit to, you know, how things are run now by the Rugby League. You know, making it into two divisions and having promotion and relegation in them two leagues has been a big success, I think.
You mentioned promotion and relegation. There's going to be change in Super League next season with Widnes going up there. Mm. Are you looking forward to that rivalry returning?
Yeah, definitely. I love the Widnes derbies. It's, I think at the minute our biggest derby is obviously Wigan and St Helens, because, you know, we're having a bit of success at the minute, and you would say, well, at the minute, the way it stands, Wigan, Warrington and Saints are the top three teams in Super League. So I think it'll be a good challenge getting that derby back, and getting it back to, you know, the rivalry that it did have, because I think it's going to be a couple of seasons before it catches up to the Wigan Saints derbies again. But I'm sure that, you know, when the games are being played, both stadiums will be a sellout.
I don't know about you, Paul, but when I watch all these derbies involving Warrington, and you mentioned them there against the likes of St Helens and Wigan, they seem to be, to me, the nearest thing that we've got over here to State of Origin. Would you agree to that?
Yeah, I mean, they are intense games. I won't compare them to State of Origin, really. You know, it's... But they are tough games. The probably, I mean, if you look at the international games that England have played against France, you'd probably say that, you know, the derbies in Super League are probably more competitive than those. And but you know, it does step up a level when you're playing a derby. And I think this week's game against Wigan in the Challenge Cup, again, that'll step up, and it'll be a tough competition. So, but yeah, I think the derbies, you know, they're a great thing to have in Super League, and I think that they're a great advertisement for the league.
Now that's next week, but let's look back at last weekend. There was no Championship games due to the Northern Rail Cup final taking centre stage, but there was one game in the Cooperative Championship. It saw top of the table Swinton taking on third place Doncaster, and it was Steve McCormack's men that came away with a hard fought victory.
Superb victory in the end. I mean, Swinton's been going really well this season. They seem to be a Championship side playing in Championship 1, don't they? They've only lost twice all season in 14 games. And that man Ian Mort just keeps on scoring. And Swinton, they seem to have put behind them the pummeling which your lads gave them in the cup, Paul.
I felt sorry for Swinton that day. I didn't play that day. Tony rested me. And I was watching, and, you know, Swinton come on the back of, they was having a lot of success and they'd not lost a game until they met us. And you know, I wasn't expecting us to beat them by, you know, 112-0, I think it finished. And like I say, it was a bit of a kick in the guts for them, but I suppose it was a bit of an eye opener in terms of, you know, what's the, you know, the level from Super League to the second division in the Cooperative Championship. So I think that they'll have took a lot from that game and learned a lot, and, you know, thankfully it's not dented their season too much. They're still top of the league and they're still going really well.
Doncaster did play well. They got a bonus point, 5 tries and a great hat-trick by Morrison.
Yeah, he's certainly knows where that try line is, doesn't he? He's coming good. A couple of tries there for Potts as well, and my tip for Championship 1 player of the season, Spafford, kicking another 4 goals. So I think he's been going really well for Doncaster this year.
Reputation grows by every match.
Certainly does, yeah. And so too, well, I mentioned Ian Mort, but he is top try scorer. He's top point scorer in the Championship 1. I read something before that said he scored 17 tries this season and booted somewhere in the region of 80 goals as well. So he's turned into a mini Mick Nanning, isn't he, from lower divisions, you can say.
Yeah, certainly the top point scorer for Swinton and Steve McCormack's men. Looking at the number of games left in the Championship 1, got a 5-point gap between them and Keighley. They should be hot favourites to go straight up.
I would certainly say so, yeah. I think that they put a good squad together this year. They have been hard to beat when they played teams around their own level, and they score a lot of points. They're quite a fluent side in attack, to be honest. And yeah, he's done a good job there. I think that Steve McCormack is an underrated coach, to be honest.
Well, we're saying Swinton are going to be hot favourites to go. That means it's the playoff between Keighley, Doncaster, Workington, Whitehead and Rochdale and Oldham at the minute. Pick one from them.
Ooh. If Workington can cure the travel sickness, I'll go with Workington, to be honest.
I'm going to stick with Keighley.
You're going to stick with Keighley. Mm. But again, we're rubbish in Doncaster, aren't we?
Yeah.
I mean, we said there'd be nowhere at this stage of the season,
didn't
we?
I did, anyway.
And yet there they are, sitting in third spot. I mean, John Stankovic was in here a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling us that they're a much better side than I think even we predicted, didn't he? And I think it's good that there is so much competition, though, in that sort of playoff places.
Because it is so jam-packed in those playoff positions. It just shows you it's just as competitive in the Championship 1 as it is in the Super League at the minute.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's good for competition. You know, it is exciting, the Cooperative Championship. I don't really watch a lot of the second division because it's not broadcast, but, you know, looking at the results and looking through the rugby papers, it seems that, you know, there's a good competition going on down there, and you know, Steve McCormack's certainly doing a good job with Swinton Lions. I've seen Keighley play a couple of times. We played them in the Challenge Cup as well this year, and you know, they are a competitive side. It was a pretty tough game, even though, you know, we was convincing winners. They've got some good players, and they actually, with the ball, it was actually quite dangerous. So I'm not surprised that they're sitting second at the minute.
Right then, first piece of silverware was up for grabs. It was the Northern Rail Cup final, the home of Blackpool FC. Bloomfield Road was the venue. Halifax versus Leigh Centurions, two big guns within the Championship. And it lived up to all the expectations.
It did. I thought this was a fantastic game. I mean, Halifax, they led 10 points to nil at half-time, scored a couple of tries in the first half through Greenwood and Bannister, one goal from the boot of Danny Jones, and to be honest, you wouldn't have disagreed had they been 20 points in front at half-time, because for me, they actually dominated most of that first half, both territorially and quite a few times. Lee were just hanging on and really had to use every bit of sliding defence that they could come up with, every defensive technique you can mention, whether it was good or bad, or it was just last ditch, and it was scrambling all the time.
I got the impression in the first half Lee had a bit of cup final jitters.
I think I'd agree with you, yeah. They didn't get off to the usual starts as they have been doing all the way through the season, and yeah, they really were affected. Thankfully, whatever Ian Millward said to his team at half time created a bit of a turnaround, didn't it? Because Ellis went over after 47 minutes. Hill went over after 55 minutes, and he's a player that's going to be a future teammate of yours, is Chris Hill.
Yeah, I watched the game and quite impressed with him. They said on Sky he's not a big prop forward, but he's certainly big on TV to me. I think he's about 6'3", isn't he? So he's certainly bigger than me, and I don't think size is going to be a problem with him. I think that he'll benefit, you know, from the full-time training now. I believe he's already a personal trainer and he works in a gym, so he's going to be a pretty fit lad. And like I say, he's going to add a bit of size to the Warrington pack, and he looks like he can, you know, he's good at making the metres, taking the ball forward, and pretty decent in defence, so looking forward to playing with him.
Now, Jamie Ellis will be lined up against Warrington for Hull FC next year. What do you make of his game?
Yeah, again, pretty impressed. You know, like I said to you before, there's a lot of players in the Championship who could, you know, come up to Super League, and for other reasons they don't want to do that, whether it's work commitments or not. And but yeah, definitely both going to be good players in Super League, I feel, and they'll definitely benefit from the full-time training.
Is there any better time to score a match-winning try? It's in the final minute.
Yeah, but that came after Wierinski scored a smashing try in the corner. And for me, he's another player who could potentially step up to Super League. He's certainly got the size and speed, hasn't he, Rob Wierinski?
Yeah, definitely. He's a big, strong lad, and he's if you give him the ball in open space, I don't think there's many people who are going to catch him. And you know, he returns the ball well. But again, he's certainly a player who could probably step up to Super League.
At that stage, with Jones kicking, it was 16-10, and it was looking like Halifax's name was going to be on the trophy. Lee rode back though. Ellis scored a try under the post, lovely kick through from Martin Ridyard, and then you're right on the death, very last minute, 40 seconds left on the clock, Ridyard feigns a drop goal, somehow takes the defence he's on, gets a pass out to Stuart Littler, and Stuart Littler puts Tom Armstrong over in the corner for a try he's going to remember for many a day.
Now, if you were a Halifax player, what would be going through your mind, because you'd be thinking, oh, we've won the cup?
Well, obviously they've not played for the full 80, have they? And you know, that's the main thing in a cup game, especially when it's so close. And yeah, I mean, not in cup finals, but you know, there's been a number of times where we've played intense for 79 minutes against teams like St Helens, and you know, switched off for 30 seconds and they've come back to bite us on the bum. And you know, that's what's happened to Halifax. You've got to feel sorry for them. I do feel, you know, like you were saying earlier, you know, Halifax had a lot of possession in the Lee half, and they just didn't turn the pressure into points, and feel like they should have been up, you know, but by at least 20 points early doors. And I think if they could have done that and maybe converted that possession into points, then they probably would have come away winners and won the game comfortably. But you know, full credit to Lee, they stuck in there and you know, defended really well for that time period.
Now, that's the third time that Lee Centurions have lifted that particular cup, and it's gaining, isn't it, in popularity year on year. I was just looking at the attendance, 8,800. I think that's one of the highest that's been in that competition.
It is, and it just shows you the interest is there, doesn't it? It's a real great competition. It gives the players in the lower league the chance to play on a higher stage for something worthy of winning. And for Lee Centurions, by doing that, they tick that all-important box.
It's only one box, though. There's still a whole list of criteria that clubs have to meet to try and get in the Super League. Are you in favour of these Super League franchises and sorting things out off the field rather than on it?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. You know, I've played at Warrington when we was nearly relegated, and you know, it was a tough time and a lot of pressure on the clubs. You know, clubs stand to lose a lot of money when there was relegation, and you know, people's livelihoods was on the line. And definitely in for the franchise system. I think it also creates a bit more. Takes a bit of pressure, I think, off some coaches who are fighting, you know, near the bottom of the league, and it you know, they might opt to use young lads now coming through, whereas before they was fighting with relegation, they'd make, you know, emergency signings and sign any Australian they could get into the club. And you know, now it seems that you know, it's working for the structure that the young lads are coming through, even at the lower division teams. You know, Celtic have brought a few lads through, Wakefield have got a lot of young lads coming through, and now the Quins. So, you know, even though they're sitting at the bottom, they're still producing these youngsters. But with that relegation battle, would you say they'd give those youngsters a chance, or would they bring emergency players in? I think it'd be the latter.
You're a Super League based player, so you've never played in the Northern Rail Cup. So looking at that tournament from outside, what do you make of it?
Yeah, it's you know, it's a competitive competition, and you know, it's always good to look at, you know, when the first stages come out. It's always good to have a look and see what teams are up against each other and make a prediction who's going to get to the final. So pretty much for Halifax and Lee was going to get to the final, without trying to be a smart person. But you know, it's, yeah, you know, for that to have them two teams in the final, it's made it very exciting. And I couldn't pick on the day. I thought Halifax might have just edged it, but you know, full credit to Lee, they did really well. But it's definitely an exciting competition. It's good because, as well, over the last couple of years, we've seen some of the lower position teams. I think Batley got the was it last year, and you know, so it's turned out to be like a competition where you don't have to be the favourites to get there.
Do you think it'd be a good idea to introduce that into Super League, or do we play enough games already?
Yeah, we play enough games already, I feel. You know, when you, you know, if you do make the final of the Challenge Cup and you play all Super League games and get to the playoffs, there's a lot of games there, and probably to bring another competition, unless we can increase the salary cap and maybe make the squads bigger, and we can rotate players a bit more, then I would definitely leave it as it is.
Speaking of Super League, I'd move over to round 22, and here's the results from last weekend. Bradford Bulls 36, Huddersfield Giants 0, Crusaders 20, Castleford Tigers 26, Harlequins 24, Warrington 54, Hull Kingston Rovers 21, Salford City Reds 8, Leeds 20, Hull FC 0, St Helens 40, Castan Dragons 18, Wigan Warriors 48, Wakefield 6. Now, besides your own scoreline out in the capital, any of those scorelines catch your eye, Paul?
Yeah, the Hull FC, I thought that, you know, I watched that game. We was in London at the time, and I thought Hull FC were gonna win that game, and especially with the conditions being the way they was, it was really teeming down there, and I expected the Hull pack to dominate Leeds. But you know, full credit to Leeds, they stood up and they got embarrassed against Catalans a week before, so. Yeah, that was a good and the Catalans game against St Helens, again, I would have predicted Catalans to win that game with the form that they've shown, but you know, for St Helens to put 40 points on them, and they have been defending quite well, so yeah, it's those two are surprises.
Now, for me, the standout result of the weekend has got to be Bradford 36, Huddersfield Giants 0. Are the Giants running out of steam?
Outstanding result, that, for Bradford. I mean, where did that one come from? I wouldn't have tipped that one from anywhere
before. I don't
think
anyone would have.
Amazing result. I mean, Sykes as well, scoring a couple of tries, kicking a couple of goals. Van kicking 4 from 5, scoring a try as well. But the man who controlled it all was Ben Jeffries. Now, he's been around Super League for quite some time, hasn't he, Ben Jeffries? But he's always been a pretty useful player, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's a quality player. I've seen him play some outstanding games, and I always remember that year when Wakefield, they weren't expected to get in the playoffs, and I think they finished round about fifth, and they had a great run in the playoffs, and Jeffries was one of the main players for them. And I think on the back of that, he ended up signing for Bradford, and it didn't quite go his way. And but he is a quality player on his day, and you know, if you give him a lot of time with the ball, he can pick a pass, and he's also a good runner with the ball. So I think that he's you know, him going back to Bradford is dominating a little bit more there in the half backs, and he's pushing the pack in the field. So That's why they got the win against Huddersfield.
I suppose he's got something to prove there, hasn't he, to go back after it, you mentioned it. It didn't really seem to happen for him. And sometimes it happens like that for players, doesn't it? They move on and for whatever reason they don't quite fire. But it's rare that you get the opportunity to actually go back and say, right, I'm going to prove it this time.
Yeah, I mean, he went to Bradford and sort of Bradford went into the decline then, didn't they? And, you know, it's... So it didn't quite sort of work for him, probably like he thought he was having a lot of success and then started going downhill a bit, but yeah, he's got a second chance now and I'm sure that he'll want to prove people wrong. It's, you know, if a club gets rid of you and then, you know, it's heartbreaking, I suppose, and then if for them to take you back, you've got to be, you know, you've got to be on your guard and say, you know, I'm going to really push my chance this time and prove that, you know, they made a mistake by getting rid of me.
Big victories for St Helens and Wigan Warriors and two big hat-tricks. Young Foster getting a hat-trick and the returning Gareth Hock.
He just seems to be getting better and better, doesn't he, Foster? He's a player that I marked when he first hit the scene, really, at St Helens, because I'd seen him play quite a bit of academy rugby before he actually made the first team over at St Helens. Always an impressive performer at that level. And he does just seem to get better and better, particularly as a goal kicker. He actually misses, does he?
Yeah, he's. I've watched him a few times now for Saints, and his goal kicking's. You know, that's what probably brought him to the first team. In a way, he was so outstanding. I think he was contributing quite a lot of points with his goal kicking, but now he's showing that he can score tries as well. And you know, he's some of his finishing that I've seen this season has been class. So. Yeah, he's got the goal kicking, but also scoring tries now, so it's hard for Saints to not pick him now.
Certainly Roy Simmons has also commented fairly recently about the form of Francis Melly, who's been playing centre to him. I think that's probably a big influence as well, because he's given him plenty of passes.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, the games that I've seen, Francis Melly, who come over as a winger, has gone into the centre and he's giving him some quality balls. And you know, just the game that stands out is when they played him at Leeds, Saints and Leeds at Edinburgh. Francis Miller gave him quite a number of opportunities to go over and Jamie too come and you know, come up with that class try where I think he put it round his back and then put it down with one hand. So quite a talent to do that. And like you say, if he's getting good balls from Melly, then you know, he's going to finish him.
It's like poacher turned gamekeeper, really, isn't it? That
yeah, he's. But like I say, he's to go from winger to centre. It's harder than it seems, you know, to go into the centre. So I think he's done a great job there, Francis Melly.
Despite Castan's going down, another great performance by the evergreen Steve Menzies, and he comes up with two tries as well. Not bad for a 37-year-old.
I know, yeah, I just don't know how he keeps doing it. I keep saying, I hope I'm not playing when I'm 37.
That was going to be my next question to you, Paul, actually. Would you fancy being in a position like Steve Menzies in a few years' time?
Well, if I think now I'm 29 and I've got to play another 8 years, it seems like a long, long time, a long, long time to keep playing. But, you know, I suppose once you get to like 30, 33, 34, you take it year upon year, and I think that's what Steve Menzies did when he come to Bradford. I think he signed a 1 year deal, did he? And then with an option, and I think that's how it tends to work once you get over a certain age. But if your bodies keep going, and you know, it's all about performance. If you're performing, then there's nothing to stop you from keep on playing. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned Gareth Hock, he got a hat-trick, being away for 2 years, so it shows you in his time away, it's made him more hungry to be back involved.
I think most definitely, yeah. I mean, he was a very promising player before, wasn't he? And obviously, he's come right back into it. It's took him a little bit of time to get back knocking on the door of the first team, but yeah, that's a great comeback, really. I know he's played a couple of games off the bench, hasn't he? And that was his first start, but yeah, a fit and handy Gareth Hock, he's a very useful player to have indeed, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's no danger now he's going to be playing against us on Saturday. I think, you know, there was probably an argument, would he be fit enough for this type of game? But, you know, to score 3 tries, he's certainly come back with a bang. And what I've seen of him playing is, you know, he's playing quite well. And he's, you know, he's probably going to just keep getting fitter and fitter now with the more game time he gets. So, yeah, let's see how he does on Saturday.
What's he like to play against, out of interest?
Yeah, he's just a tough player, and you know, a no nonsense type of player. He's got good footwork. You know, he can break the line. He's got a good offload if you don't lock the ball up. And you know, and he's a good defender. He's not someone that you particularly like running at. You know, he adds that bit of grit. I think that, you know, maybe Wigan have lacked, you know, when they've played us over the last couple of periods. We have dominated their forwards, you know, there's no bones about that. So, you know, we've got to do the same again. But with a Gareth Fock in there, it's going to be a bit of a difficult task.
Now, Salford City Reds took the lead early doors against Hawkinson Rovers, your old Spartan partner, Vinny Anderson, getting in on the try, scoring that. But they would have been disappointed to have lost that game.
Most definitely, yeah. I think it was the first game in charge, really, wasn't it, for the new coach, Matt Parrish. And really, when you've got a new guy coming in, you want to be doing everything you can to impress him, right, aren't you? And certainly, if we'd looked at half-time in that game, they led 8-0. And that's a heck of a comeback, really, for Hawkinson Rovers to turn it round. But they are a side who can do that. And for me, I don't know. I mean, a few weeks ago, we were sort of debating about whether Hawkinson Rovers, we'd seen the end of them, really, as a force towards the top eight. And they've turned it round. I think a bit of pressure has been put on Justin Morgan, and he's responded with his team.
Yeah, and the players have responded to what Justin Morgan wants. They're always getting told that the home of Hawkinson Rovers is never the easiest place to go. Is that how you lot feel when you go?
Yeah, it is a tough ground to go, definitely. It's, you know, the fans are really behind the old team, and we've not really had much success there, really, over the last few years. I know we played there this season and we won, but you know, I always remember playing there in the Challenge Cup when we was in Super League and Hawkinson Rovers were in the Championship, and they turned us over. And you know, it's very hostile place to go, really, and very daunting place. It's a tough journey to make.
One game we haven't mentioned yet: Crusaders 20, Castleford Tigers 26, and one of your old teammates, Rob Parker, scoring the winning try. And for me, it was a bit of a dodgy one, really. I'm not quite sure what the video ref managed to see in that one.
Yeah, you know, Rob's obviously not getting in the Salford team at the minute, and he's out on loan at Cass. And what a way to show Salford they've made a mistake by scoring the winning try, and he got man of the match as well. So, yeah, he's. I watched against Wigan. He played against Wigan, and then watched him again this week, and he's not playing too bad. You wouldn't have thought that he's not played Super League for a number of weeks. So yeah, good on him.
Now, we mentioned earlier in this podcast, it's all about playing for the full 80. That's what Crusaders should have done, because up to the 65th minute, it looked all odds on Crusaders winning that game.
It did, yeah. I thought they looked like they were in control, didn't they? And then suddenly they gave away a couple of penalties. Castleford were right on the line, bashing away and putting pressure on.
When I was watching this game, I thought Crusaders had it wrapped up. But again, you know, same like Halifax, they just shut shop, and a couple of handling errors and penalties have not gone their way. And you know, it shows that, you know, Super League now, you've got to keep playing till the end. And full credit to Cass, they did that and come up with the win. But again, I think Crusaders, they should have won that game, and they probably should have been, you know, 20 points up with the territory they had. Disappointing for them.
I'm sure the Crusaders team will learn from it. I'm sure the coach, Yestin Harris, will learn from this one as well.
Yeah, he's having a going tough at the minute, isn't he, Yestin Harris? He doesn't seem to be getting the bounce going his way in a lot of these games, because I think that was about the sixth or seventh time this season where the gap has been in single figures and they've still ended up losing.
You know, the Crusaders, we've played them twice this year, and you know, we've managed to get the wins, and we've beat them quite convincingly. But you know, both times we've played them, we really have been on our game, and you know, we scored some good tries that day as well. I scored a blinder, actually. I only had finish it off, but no, we was on our game that day. And they're a good attacking team, Celtic, and when they're on the ball, they sort of blow hot and cold, and it's what team's going to turn up. And you know, they've run a few teams close this season, and you know, a few more wins and they sit nice in the table, don't they?
Now, Jamie Frost and Gareth Hock both scored hat-tricks for Saints and Wigan, but Chris Bridge for Warrington, well, he beat the lot of them. He scored four.
He was a man possessed, wasn't he?
I'm playing for Lewis Ford, that's a first for him, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think he's done it a couple of times for Warrington, but just in patches. But this time he did a full 80 minutes, which is, you know, from gutter centre into the middle of the field and start defending is a tough task. But then to come up with four tries as well, he's done extremely well. And I think Wigan will be keeping an eye on him this week, but it gives him a lot of space running in the middle, and he likes that bit of freedom. And it's something that really we've had Ben Harrison at loose forward, and Ben plays more like a prop in that position, where when Bridges there or Simon Griggs, it's more of a ball playing loose forward, and it just gives us a bit more ball handling out wide. So yeah, I think Bridges is suited that to that position at the minute.
Second consecutive game, getting off to a flying start, but whereas Huddersfield came back at you, no such problems against Harlequins.
No, it's you know, we put a lot of pressure on. To be fair, when we was 18-0 up, they did come back and they scored a try, and we thought it was going to be a bit of a comeback from them, because you know, they never give up even towards the end. They scored a few late tries at the end. I think it was more of we knocked off a little bit, and you know, that's why they managed to get in. But you know, fair credit to them, they did give us a good game, even though the scoreline says it was easy. It wasn't as easy as it says.
Plenty of tries scored. Gareth Carvell, Chris Bridge got four, Joe Monaghan, Lee Braes, Richie Marley, and the final one, try of the match, Paul Wood.
Yeah, went in again, fifth try of the season, and yeah, pretty happy with my strike rate at the minute. So like I said to you before, giving props a bad name, scoring tries shouldn't be done, I've been told. But yeah, it's just nice to be playing in a team that likes scoring tries. You know, it's made easy by the fact that I'm playing with good players, and they can put me through gaps.
You're miles away from the naked lap as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I've never done one in my career, so pretty happy to stay away from that one.
Now, the conditions weren't the best for rugby league at the weekend, but despite the heavy, wet conditions, kickers certainly had the boots on, didn't they? Dixon for Catters slotted over 5 from 5, Brett Hodgson 8 from 8, also Jamie Foster got 8 from 8, and Pat Richards 8 from 8, not bad.
A lot of eights there, isn't there?
There is.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose as well, with the advent and how things have gone with full-time rugby, do you see lads like Hodgson getting out there and practising for hours on the goal kicking, perhaps?
Yeah, it's a must. You've got to practice, and that's something that we fell short with, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Nobody really practised the goal kicking that much. But at Warrington now we have a kicking coach, and you know, there's a lot of practicing, whether it be rubber kicks, putting the spiral bombs up, kicking at goal. The lads are always out there practicing, and you've got to do it if you want to be consistent. You've got to know, you know, how to kick that ball. And I think Kevin Sinfield's a good example of that. I believe that he's forever practicing with his kicking. So yeah, no matter what you do, if you want to be good at it, you've got to keep practicing, and kicking's no exception.
You mentioned there about kicking coaches. It's interesting because we hear a lot about rugby league coaches going across to rugby union and coaching the defensive side of things. Are any rugby union coaches coming over here to the kicking side of things?
Yeah, we've got a couple of rugby union coaches coming over. One of the guys, Colin, he's the kicking coach, and he takes all the halfbacks and the goal kickers, and they practice after sessions when we've done all our ball handling work, and even before sessions. But we've also had the rugby union coach come over, Tony. He's come to Warrington and he's helped us with our passing, dummy half passing. You know, and it's added a little bit extra more skill to our game.
After round 22, the Super League table is as follows. In the playoff places, it's Wigan, Warrington, St Helens, Huddersfield, Catalan Dragons, Casford Tigers, Leeds Rhinos and Hull FC. And in the wooden spoon position, it is Crusaders.
You couldn't get much closer up at the top though, could you, Paul?
No, it's a good competition. It's just nice to see that we've pulled away there a little bit from Huddersfield and St Helens. There was, you know, biting our behinds before, but we're 5 points clear now with St Helens and 6 of Huddersfield, which is a bit of breathing space, but we need to catch Wigan. You know, we've got to play them yet again this season, so yeah, we need to get the win against those.
Now, with Wigan, Warrington and Saints at the top three, now we look at Leeds and Bradford off the back of the top eight, do we get the impression the power's swinging to North West rather than Yorkshire?
Well, yeah, it looks that way at the minute, and even the French, aren't they? Catalans are up there, so yeah, it looks like, you know, the northern teams are doing really well there, the Lancashire teams, and although Warrington's class is Cheshire, isn't it? But yeah, it's good to see that Wigan, Warrington and Saints are up there near the top, and not the Bradford and Leeds that we've seen in the past.
Has there been a surprise team in Super League this year?
I think Catalans have been. I think not so much surprised where they are in the division, but I think, you know, the performances that I've seen have been really impressive, and you know, they like to throw the ball about, they play some expansive rugby, but the defence is pretty good as well. So they're always a big physical team. You know, they get those big French guys there, and they run hard and they tackle hard, but they've brought a lot of skill in this season. So yeah, I think Catalans, like I said, not surprised where they're sitting, but some of the performances I've seen have been really good.
Let's have a look at the fixtures. Starting first of all with the Cooperative Championship 1, we've got Oldham against Keighley Cougars, South Wales Scorpions against Doncaster, Swinton Lions taking on Whitehaven, Workington Town against the London Scholars, and some great ties there. I'm looking forward to that one between Swinton and Whitehaven. That's going to be a brilliant tie, isn't it?
Really is, isn't it? And Stephen Cormack's men will be hoping that home advantage, even if it is at the Willows, would see them home against Whitehaven, who are one of the informed teams in the Championship 1.
And interesting as well that South Wales are actually playing in Neath this week. They've been spending the last few weeks out in Caerphilly, haven't they?
They have, and they seem to be going around the south of Wales, see which is the best venue to use for their home games. Is that somewhere you've played your rugby league at before?
Where is that, sir?
The Neath?
No, I've never played there, no. Never.
Did Bonnington ever play down in South Wales?
Yeah, we did play Bridgend.
The Championship sees the Thursday night encounter between Batley Bulldogs and Featherstone Rovers. Saturday sees Barrow taking on Hunslet and Toulouse taking on Widnes Vikings. Sunday sees Halifax against York City Knights, and Leigh Centurions host Sheffield Eagles.
I suppose the pick of the fixtures there is going to be Batley Bulldogs versus Featherstone Rovers. The Rovers, top of the table, they were looking to open up some space between themselves and Leigh. For Batley, the challenge for them is to bounce back to winning ways, and can they make that big hill work in their favour?
Well, it's going to be tough, isn't it? I mean, it's always a bit of a strange place to play at, I'd imagine, Batley. Is that a venue you've played at, Paul, going back?
No, I've never played at Batley.
You've had a you've had a lucky escape.
Yeah, I've seen it on TV, but no, it's somewhere I've never been.
Quite right in picking that one out, Adrian, as the pick of the games in the Championship this week.
I suppose with Widnes Vikings, any trip to the south of France is a potential banana skin, and the Vikings will be hoping it won't be that hot in the south of France.
Yeah, I believe the weather forecast says it isn't going to be quite as hot as it has been over recent weeks, but I'm sure they'll get a warm welcome at Toulouse. But having said that, and putting the puns aside, Widnes will have to do it without Dom Crosby, who's been suspended for a game, so he's going to be a bit of a blow because he's been going well as the young prop forward for them.
Another dual contract player that's making the system work, isn't it? And he's getting the chance to play regular first team rugby league, and he's getting himself a bit of a reputation at Widnes Vikings. So talking about the heat that Widnes are expecting to have in Toulouse, now you've had it in Perpignan, just how difficult is it for our club to go over and play in them that intense heat?
Yeah, it's a bit of a change. Obviously, if it's pouring down here, you know, most weeks like it is at the minute, and then to go over there into that blazing sunshine, it's pretty difficult. You know, the only good thing is that sometimes the night games we've played there, and they've been like 7 o'clock kickoff, and you know, I think it's going to be the same for Widnes. So that's the only good side. But it's sitting in that heat all day. You know, you've got to stay in your room and keep out the heat and just bang the air conditioning on, and it's not a good thing to be doing on game day. A lot of lads like to get out there and do something, but it can be a bit distracting. But you know, it's, I suppose both teams have got to get used to that heat and you know, play rugby.
Now for Halifax and Leigh, they're going to put a cup hangover behind them and get back to the league game, playing against teams who've had a week off.
I think certainly Halifax will fancy the chances against York, although they have responded and hit back and built a couple of wins over recent weeks. They were defeated by Toulouse last time out, which was perhaps a shock result as far as the Championship goes. So they'll be smarting. And Halifax will as well. They'll be wanting to really get out there and probably rip into York from the very first whistle, won't they?
They will. Looking at the Leeds-Sheffield game, Eagles, They are a team that can really upset the apple cart.
Yeah, they're one of the form sides, really. I mean, I was reading something before, and it's only Leigh, Widnes and Halifax that have beaten them this season, and they've beaten everybody else in the Championship, but they need to make a statement really and beat one of these higher placed clubs in order to impress further and get a little bit further up the table. I mean, they're sitting in fifth position at the moment, 2 points behind Widnes. I don't know whether they'll be fancying the chances or not, because last time they played against Leigh Centurions, they lost by 44 points to 8 at home, so I think they'll have something to prove as well. But they are a big set of forwards, and they've got a couple of handy halfbacks there.
They have, and when you have a team that's set up like that, Paul, is that hard to play against?
Yeah, it is, definitely. You know, it's if your forwards can set your platform for you, and you've got a pair of decent halfbacks, it's... makes a massive difference. Luckily at Warrington we've got that in Milo and Breers. So yeah, it's very difficult to play against. Nothing worse than playing against a big pack who run hard all day and, you know, just make the yards on you, and you've got to try and stop them getting on the front foot. And then once they do get on the front foot, if the half packs come, you know, it's so hard to defend against.
Now, we know about the French experience with Catalan Dragons in Super League. What do you make of the experiment with Toulouse being in the Championship?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, if it's going to expand the game, I suppose it's a good idea. You know, even though they've only won 3 games this season, it's it might just be my retirement fund, that Toulouse, actually. But no, I think, you know, if it's going to expand the game, and you know, it's a good thing. You know, I know in rugby union they do have the like European Cup, and they have the French teams over and stuff. So, yeah, it could work. You know, like I say, at the minute they're not doing too well, but there's nothing to say that they can't be a competitive team.
Now, Super League takes a well-earned break, but that doesn't mean you get a weekend off, Paul, because there's some big cup games coming up this week. Quarter final of the Carnegie Challenge Cup as we take one step closer to Wembley in August, and we've got 4 crackers, haven't we? We've got Warrington Wolves versus Wigan Warriors, Castleford take on Huddersfield Giants, Hull FC versus Leeds Rhinos, St Helens versus Hull Kingston Rovers. Before we talk about the big one concerning yourself, Paul, what do you make of the other 3 ties?
You know, they're all going to be tough. I don't want to call any really, because you know, the Leeds and the Hull one, that is going to be a tight game, I feel. You know, having played Leeds beating Hull last week in Super League, you know, they'll want to put a few wrongs right, and you know, I would expect Saints to beat Hull Kingston Rovers, but again, you know, you just never know with the Challenge Cup. And Huddersfield last week getting beat, you know, have the wheels fell off for the time being. I'm sure they'll come back, but you know, whether it's a week too early, and Castleford can put in another good result, you know, so you just never know. It could be a few shock results this week.
The boost for Castleford is the fact they got Rangi Chase back from suspension. Blow for Huddersfield, they've lost Kevin Brown for 6 weeks.
That's a huge blow, Kevin Brown, losing him, because I saw him play a few weeks ago against Crusaders and he was outstanding. He was the best player on the park. He was spraying passes out left, right and centre. And I'm not just talking short defence splitters, I'm talking the long sweeping ones as well, which are getting centres and wide runners coming onto it at pace. Yeah, huge loss. He's been in charge of most of the kicking as well over recent games, although that is tempered somewhat by the fact that Danny Brough made his comeback last week from injury against Bradford. So I don't know, they seem to get one back and lose one, don't they, at the moment, Huddersfield?
I know Danny Brough is a quality halfback, but he's not fully match fit, is he? So Burnley man Rangi Chase effectively had a weekend off. He's going to be fully refreshed. Jungle, never the easiest place to go in rugby league. I'd expect the Cast to win that one.
I'd never bet against him, though. I mean, Danny Brough is quite a special player. If you give him the room to play and if he gets his kicking game going, then I don't think there's many halfbacks which will get the better of him in Super League.
Yeah, I think he's a class act. You know, whether match fitness is going to affect him, I'm not sure. And might take him a couple of games, get a bit of form in, but you know, he is a class player. It just depends how much pressure Castleford put on him, and you know, whether they can put pressure on his kicking game, then it could go to pieces. So yeah, I think it all comes down to Cass really and how they handle that situation.
I think we've got a couple of really interesting ties this weekend, actually. I'm looking forward to seeing the result of St Helens against Old Kingston Rovers, because they've met quite frequently over the last few years. I think this is the 3rd time in 6 seasons, which, I don't know, sometimes you can go years without playing the same club, can't you? And then other times they seem to be drawn out every other year, and that seems to be one of those occasions.
Yeah, it does. You know, it's normally a decent tie though with Saints and Oakingston Rovers. I expect Saints to win it. You know, I'm sure they'll want to be getting back to Wembley. They've not had no success in the Challenge Cup for the last few years, so you know, down to ourselves. But yeah, I think I can see Saints probably winning that game by 20 points, I think.
Now, you mentioned St. Helens haven't been to Wembley for a while. You've been there twice consecutively, but a big challenge at the quarter-final stage this year against Wigan Warriors to take one step closer.
Yeah, it's going to be a biggest game of the year for us this year. It's going to be a tough game. You know, we sort of battered Wigan when we played them at JJB earlier in the year, and I'm sure they'll be thinking about that result. They'll want revenge. You know, it's knockout rugby, and it's you know, if you lose, you're out. So it's massively important for us. And Wigan all desperately want this Challenge Cup. I know it's a big thing in Wigan, the Challenge Cup being a Wigan lad. So there'll be a lot of pressure on them for to win this game. And there's a lot of pressure on us, but you know, we've experienced this type of pressure before, and hopefully that'll give us the edge on the game.
There's been some interesting advertising around Warrington in the build-up to this game. We've had pictures of Ben Harrison on the poster saying, "We've got the prize, they've got the pies." And there's also another one with Adrian Morley with the cup saying, "Come and get it."
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of interest, and it's worked because it's going to be a sellout.
To be honest, I don't think you need to advertise this type of game. It's just one of them where people are going to come and buy tickets, and it's always a sellout now. The week, just saying before about the local derbies, Wigan and Warrington. You know, it's massive in Super League now, and it's a good derby for us to have, and especially for me because it's my hometown club, so I particularly like it. And there's nothing better than getting all them Warrington fans singing behind you.
Now, the Primrose and Blue do win on Saturday, will we be getting egged when driving around Wigan?
Yeah, I won't be able to speak to anyone. I'm under so much pressure because there's all these kids in my street, and they just they've always got Wigan kits on, so they're always kissing the badge, and I've got my Warrington gear on and I'm kissing my badge, and like it's a lot of, there's more pressure coming because I just can't drive down that street with them kids kissing that Wigan badge. So I want to get me a Primrose and Blue flags out and put them on car if we beat them.
It must be great, that banter though.
Yeah, I love it. It's one of the things I like about rugby league, is that, you know, being a Wigan lad, and there's loads of Wigan fans on our estate where we live, and like all these kids, some days they give me thumbs up and then the other days they're like kissing the badge and putting the thumbs down, so they I don't know, but it's good banter. I must look well, like having this banter with these 10-year-olds. I stop the car and I have a chat to them and I'm saying, "Oh, we're going to turn you over this week," and they're going boo, and I must look like a bit weird, but yeah, it's great. I love having the kids like give me banter and stuff. It's really good to see that, you know, they're taking interest in the game.
Now, from a Warrington point of view, what do you think will be the key ingredient for you to get the win?
I think, you know, defensively they're quite a big team, and they get on the front foot pretty well, so I think if we can dominate them, you know, I think it might take a bit out of Sam Tompkins. He likes to have space to run in, and he likes a quick game, so you know, if we can get our defence set and he's running at us when we're set in defence, then it'll take a lot out of the game. It's going to be a big ask, but you know, I'm sure we're up to it. We've done it before, and we've got no doubt we'll do it again.
Now, what's been mentioned about the talent that Willow the Wisp has, how difficult of a player is he to play against?
He is difficult, you know, for his size. He runs particularly strong and very dynamic. He runs really well in between players and not at them, so he's quite difficult to stop, and he loves stepping back on the inside, and if you switch off for a minute, he's going to catch you. So yeah, he's a pretty smart player. You've got to be on the ball with him.
Now, you're an avid person on Twitter, aren't you, Paul?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of our Talking Points listeners also tweet their thoughts to me on Twitter, and we've got a shed load of questions here, so let's see how we go with this little lot. First of all, Jack Woolcott, he asks, "Do you think the league will go down to the very last game between Wigan and Warrington?"
Yeah, there's a good chance I think that it will. You know, hopefully we won't drop any games, and and you know, Wigan won't, and I hope it does come down to the last game of the season, and I hope that we take them 2 points and then finish top, so it makes a good end to a league season.
Gaz Smith, he is an avid watcher of the NRL, and he asked, do you think that Super League should be expanded? Now, he's not just talking about the current 14 clubs or adding one more for 15. He wants to see it introduced to 18 teams and include the likes of Halifax and Sheffield.
It'd be nice if we could get 18 teams, you know, competitive in the league, but at the minute we can't, and we've not really got, the way the league sits, we've not really got 14 teams, have we? So we need to, you know, just build on what we've got and hopefully adapt it to a bigger competition. I would like to see 18 teams, but is it going to happen yet? I don't think it is.
They need to look at how it's financially viable as well, don't they?
Yeah, that's the thing, you know. It's all that saying, you know, give these clubs Super League franchises, but, you know, have they got the money to support it, and, you know, can they keep the club afloat? I'm not sure whether many clubs can.
Now, Andy Parsons, he's been kind of following all these towns and cities around the UK declaring their thoughts and nailing the flags to the mast and saying we want a game for the World Cup that's forthcoming in 2013, I think, yeah. Isn't it? And he's spotted out Bristol. Now, he says, do you think Bristol's a good place to home some of the World Cup games to aid development?
I don't really know the answer to that, to be honest. I don't know how big rugby league is down there, but, you know, it's asking people to put the hands in the pockets and travel down and buy accommodation, and you know a lot of people up here on the what they call the M62 corridor and the M6. It's, you know, it's a big ask to ask them to travel all the way down there. I think, you know, can we not do it so we actually bring people up from south up north to us and do it that way instead of asking our you know, loyal spectators that we've got at the minute, keep asking them to put their hands in the pocket.
You mentioned the World Cup. Is that a tournament you'd like to be involved with?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I got my Papua New Guinean passport last week, so I'll hopefully get selected.
You've been speaking to Stanley, have you?
Yeah.
Mark O'Hara and Luke Barnes, they've got a couple of interesting points. First of all, Mark O'Hara asks about your thoughts on the licensing system, but kind of dovetailing in with that, Luke Barnes says, do you think there should be relegation? Not to promote the clubs from Championship, but to make the lower sides work harder.
No, I'm not a massive fan. Like I say, I've been in that position before, relegation, and, you know, it puts clubs under so much pressure and players under so much pressure, and it's not a nice thing to have, and when people's livelihoods are on the line, it's not nice. You know, rugby league's not like football where, you know, you make that much money where you can afford to get relegated. It's, you know, it really is difficult, but I think the system we've got in place at the minute, you know, it works in the NRL and it's working here at the minute, so keep it as it is for me.
Dan Robinson, I think this is quite an interesting question here. He says, are you frustrated by your lack of international caps that you gained, or just proud of the recognition?
Yeah, I'm proud that, you know, I've been involved in a couple of Great Britain camps, got two England caps I'm proud of, but, you know, I've been restricted to, you know, I've not got any more than that, and, you know, hopefully I might get a recall, see how I play this year, so I'll just see what happens, but it's not my main focus.
Do you think you're being restricted due to the fact you've had such bad injuries over throughout your career?
Yeah, I mean, my injuries have never come at a good time. I mean, when I got first picked in a Great Britain squad, I played in the warm-up game and I got a shoulder injury, so, you know, again, that restricted me, and then, I think, you know, having injuries doesn't help, but not, you know, touch wood, I've not had none for a couple of years, and see what Steve McNamara thinks.
More of a comment here from Danny Whitehouse. He says that too many tries in Super League appear to be scored off forward passes. Do you think that there's been perhaps an increase in forward passes this year?
No, I don't think that there has. I think, you know, sometimes you watch them on Sky and stuff, and, you know, the camera angles can perceive them to be forward, but, you know, there's all this thing about momentum really not now, so I don't know what's a forward and what's momentum, so I get confused myself.
I don't even think Steve-O does.
No, I don't think anyone does.
Yeah, I think they confuse themselves, don't they, when they're talking about the game. And second question here from Gaz Smith. He asks, would Yorkshire and Lancashire be a better warm-up than England versus Exiles? What are your thoughts, first of all, on that England and Exiles game?
I think that's a good concept. I think it adds better competition for England. You know, I think it's definitely a stronger game than Yorkshire and Lancashire. You know, it wasn't really taken serious, was it? We tried making it into an origin. It just didn't happen. Lads weren't taking it as serious as they thought. And yeah, I think the Exiles game and the England one's a much better prospect. And it showed, because we beat, you know, England got beat, and it showed that, you know, we're not at a level where we think we should be at.
Well, Paul, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast today. I hope that you're able to download it and give us your thoughts.
Yeah, definitely will do, and I'll tweet it out there, try and get a few more people listening.
Me and Adrian will be back again next time out, but thanks in the meantime for joining us.